We could not continue to do that for me unless we're going to give him praise right now. Can you do that? I feel God in this house, and we're so thankful to be amongst people of like precious faith. What a mighty God we serve. Grab your Bibles if you have your Bibles with you. Bibles nowadays take different shapes. Some of them look like phones. Some of them look like iPads, other devices. Some of them still look like this. Praise God. Thank God for the hard copies. Any old-fashioned hard copies in the house tonight? Amen. Amen. We're going to the book of Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And as you're searching diligently to find that hard-to-find book in your Bible, I know apostolics struggle to find the book of Revelation. Or maybe that's just understanding it. I'm not sure. But we give honor to the wonderful leadership of your district. We give honor to Brother Sister Coltharp. Thankful for their leadership, their ministry. I serve on the general board with Brother Coltharp now, and we also serve on another committee together, which is both of our passions, and that is Strategic Growth Initiative. I am hungry to see God's kingdom advance, to see churches grow, to see people mature and disciple, to see the lost found. And I'm so honored to serve with your district superintendent on that certain committee, and to be here in his wonderful district. It's such an honor to meet Brother Nave tonight. God bless him, and I give him honor. And also your district board, we are so thankful, amen, for their leadership and their ministry and what the Illinois district has meant over the years to this wonderful fellowship. All the ministers, all the leaders, it's wonderful to be with my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, Calvin and Cheryl Jean. And saw Shayla earlier. It was great to be with her. We're thankful for those speakers that have gone before me and those that will come after me. Also, we're glad to be with the Louisiana District Women's Ministry Director tonight as well. Amen. I'm glad to have my wife with me. We rarely get to travel together. We're usually coming from different parts of the state and other states around us, wherever we're traveling and speaking, and to get to go to the same place at the same time, that is a wonderful thing. Thank you, Brother Coltharp, for having my wife. Amen. We're so honored to be with you. And to all the saints of the Most High God, I bring you greetings from the land that flows with crawfish and gumbo. Can I get a witness from somebody out here who knows exactly what I'm talking about? Praise God. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ who is the faithful witness. And the first begotten of the dead. And listen to this. And the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us, everybody said us, kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Tonight, let me share something with you that God has poured into my heart this afternoon. I wish I could tell you this was a work of 2 years, and finally I came to a conclusion just before a camp meeting, and are bringing you a masterful message that has been researched for many years and much prayer and fasting of months and maybe even years to bring to you. But I have to admit that I'm glad God gave it to me this afternoon. It's not that I had nothing before that. In fact, I think I have 5 new messages, praise God. None of these gentlemen understand what I'm talking about. They have memorized Scripture and they can boldly proclaim the Word like nobody else. But tonight I've thrown some things together that God has put in my spirit, and He will put it all together. Every verse, every thought, because there is something that is taking place in this house. I felt it as I walked into this building, and I felt it as the praise singers led us before the throne of grace tonight, we would be foolish to think that this is it, that we will leave and we have felt better. But God is about to speak something into our spirit that is going to change things. In Jesus' name. I want to preach on this subject tonight. This is your heritage. This is your heritage. We have prayed. We have believed. We have worshiped. If you're ready for the word, would you put your hands together in the presence of a mighty God? He is a mighty God. I wish somebody believed that tonight, that we serve a mighty God. Oh, yes, we do. You may be seated in the beautiful presence of the Lord. This is your heritage. Sister Mangan used to teach us a song when we were kids. In fact, Karen and I grew up in Alexandria at POA under G.A. and Vesta Mangan. And there was something that permeated the atmosphere every time we came to church, every time we walked the streets, every time we were in our neighborhood, every time we were in our car, every time we were in our home. She taught us that what we felt in church did not remain in church. And what God did in an altar or what God did in a pew did not just stay in an altar or a pew. She taught us a song like this. There's a river of life flowing out of me. It makes the length to walk and the... I hear some others singing it. Well, it opens prison doors, sets the captives free. For there's a river of life flowing out of... Does anybody believe that? When God filled you with the Holy Ghost, He put a river in you. And out of you can flow life. Out of you can flow healing. Out of you can flow the power of the Holy Ghost to accomplish anything in the plan and promises of God's Word. You have every promise inside of you right now by the power of the Holy Ghost that can be fulfilled right here in this room tonight. Somebody shout amen. God created man for two things. God created man for relationship and rulership. Genesis 1:26 says that God made man in His likeness, and He gave man dominion. In verse 28, God said, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, subdue the earth." In other words, rule where I have placed you. Man was made to rule with God. I need to say that again because we need to believe that tonight. Man was made to rule with God. That's why we're referred to in the book of Revelation as kings and priests. We're priests in relationship and we're kings in rulership. But because of sin, we lost our relationship. And if we lost our relationship, we've lost our rulership. But that's what Calvary is all about. We preach so often about restoration power of Calvary. We love to preach that Calvary bridged the gap and restored that broken relationship between God and man. But Calvary did something else besides bring fallen man back into relationship with God. It brought fallen man back into rulership with God. I'm preaching tonight about what you have inherited and is rightfully yours. Romans 5:17 says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace." Everybody say, "That's me." "And of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life." He's not talking about when you get to heaven. He's not talking about after the rapture you're going to reign with Jesus Christ. Amen. He's talking about in this life you have power to reign. Another translation says we shall be kings in life. You are in charge of what's happening. I've got to let that sink in. You are in charge of what's happening. We're quick to talk about how Calvary restored our relationship. Now we have access to God. Now we can be in the presence of God. Now we can feel the beautiful, awesome, amen, Spirit of the Lord. But we can sit there like a whipped puppy, shivering in fear because we cannot accept that we have also been restored to rulership. But I want somebody to know tonight that Calvary did not just restore relationship. Calvary restored your rulership. It's time we believe God and lay hold of things that we are heirs of. Amen. That we are joint heirs with Christ for. In these last days, my Bible tells me that God's church is going to move in a new dimension of power, a new dimension of authority. Rulership is yours. It belongs to you. Calvary secured it for you, but Jesus bought it for you. God wants us in charge. Doubt's not in charge. Sickness is not in charge. Satan is not in charge. You and God. I said you and God are in charge. I wish somebody would shout out, receive it. In John 14, Jesus looks at his disciples. But he was also looking into the future and looking at you and me. When he said these words, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Jesus was saying, I've got to leave this place. I'm going to die and I'm going to be resurrected. And you're going to think that because I'm no longer with you and you no longer see me, that you no longer have power. But I've got to go away so that I can return and fill you with my Spirit. Then will you have something inside of you that will change the course of history. It will be Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because look at the very next statement that Jesus made. It was not just for salvation. It was not just to speak in tongues. It was not just to say we now are in relationship. But then he says this, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. He said it's not just about relationship, but when I fill you with the Holy Ghost, it's going to be about rulership. When God got ready to show us what he looked like, he created Adam. You see, God reached into divinity and he pulled out humanity. Then he reached into humanity and he pulled out Eve, his bride. Do you understand? You came out of divinity. I want that to sink in your spirit tonight. You came out of divinity. You did not come out of an evil creation by the devil. You didn't come out of weakness. You didn't come out of failure. You came out of God. You came out of power. You came out of dominion. You came out of authority. And God's plan for you tonight is that you will realize that by Calvary, your rulership has been restored. You are not just anybody. You're not just another soul on this earth. Amen. You are bought with a price. You have been empowered by the Spirit. You are in relationship, yes, but you are also in rulership with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We love to talk about our relationship being restored. Yet we sit there feeling defeated and negative, living in despair, and let the devil lie to us and tell us we'll never be victorious over this. We'll never be free of this. We'll never be healed of this. We'll never be delivered from this. No wonder there's no joy in your life. No wonder there's little faith, if any, left inside of you. Because we don't lay hold of our rulership. If he made you a priest in relationship, he will not leave you without being a king in rulership. Remember, God created Adam, then out of Adam, he created Eve. Adam was created with everything he needed. As long as he stayed connected to God, God supplied him with everything he needed. God said, I'll make it so you won't need to look anywhere else for what you need. I need to tell somebody tonight. You've been on a journey. You've been searching for answers. You've been searching for help. You've been searching for hope. You've hungered for joy. You've longed for peace to move back into your life. I've got a word for you tonight. You don't need to look in the world for what you need. You don't need to look in materialism for what you need. If you get connected to God, you will find everything you need in Him. If you get connected to Him, you will find everything you need. Can I get a witness tonight? Everything you need is found in Jesus. You'll find your authority. You'll find your joy. You'll find your peace. You'll find your power. That's what Paul is speaking of in Colossians 2 when he says, I am complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. He's talking about your rulership. Revelation 17 says Jesus is the King of Kings. Who do you think he's the King of? I don't think he's talking about I'm the King of King Arthur. I'm the King of King Philip. I'm the King of King Edward. I'm the King of King William. He doesn't get any glory by being a king over those kind of kings. Kings that don't serve him. Kings that don't trust him. Kings that don't have faith in him. He doesn't get any glory by being the king over kings who hide in their weakness and are undecided and indecisive in their ministry. No, no, no. Revelation 1:5 tells us that God is called the Prince of the Kings of the earth and hath made us the kings and the priests of the earth. He's not going to be the king of a bunch of weaklings. He's not going to be the king of a bunch of faithless people. He's going to be the king of those who have put their faith in him, who step out when it's not popular and stand for what his word says, who step out, amen, when all the facts say don't do it, don't believe, don't trust, but they step out anyway and believe and trust and proclaim. He's going to be the king of those who are fighting and subduing and ruling. That's why we pray, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Where? Not in heaven. He says on earth, as it is in heaven. Nobody's sick up there. So I'm coming down right now in Jesus' name to proclaim that it is on earth as it is in heaven. Everybody's delivered up there. I claim right now that it is on earth as it is in heaven. You need to stop separating heaven and earth when it comes to your rulership. You have the power and the authority right here in this room tonight. We know that's coming, but we're praying for authority of the kingdom that's coming right now. Look what it says, on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, as he reigns in heaven over all things. He doesn't have little parts of heaven quarantined off because he doesn't have rule there. He reigns. He reigns. All authority, all power, all dominion. In other words, as he reigns in heaven, so let him reign on earth. In fact, Jesus taught them, this is what I want you to pray like. Because I want these words to come out of your mouth to let you realize that what I have accomplished in perfection in heaven, you need to call it down with authority on earth. You're not hearing me. You see, what the devil has produced is a close facsimile, but it is not perfect. I'll give you a pill, you'll feel better and feel better about it. But God says, you don't need a pill, you need healing. The devil says, and I'm not trying to say that we don't need counselors. I send our people to professional Christian counselors. But let me tell you, a counselor can't deliver you, and a counselor can't heal you. There's a place where you put it in their hands to get some of the homework and the practical elements of your mind and your life in order. Let them tell you how to walk these steps. But when it comes down to it, you need to call down that perfection of heaven upon your mind and say, God, heal my mind right now. I take authority over the devil and every adversary that's coming against my mind. We have let a sin problem tell us we'll never have God and the rulership of his name. What is the kingdom? The kingdom is the realm where God rules. Wherever God rules, that's where his kingdom is. That's why thousands are receiving the Holy Ghost right now. People are letting him reign. And it's spelled both ways. Both types of reign. Let me tell you why we're having more miracles than ever. It's because people are letting him reign. They're letting his kingdom expand. And the reason his kingdom is expanding where they are is because they're letting him reign. And with his rule comes the outpouring of the Spirit. And with his reign come miracles, signs, and the wonders of his hand. The kingdom of Jesus Christ belongs to us by blood and by redemption. And that's what's happening in some of you right now. The kingdom is coming to your life. And that's why you're feeling what you're feeling. That's why your thoughts are more turned toward God in these last days. People are growing in their faith. People are connecting with God in a more powerful way because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And faith brings down the kingdom as it is in heaven. You think heaven's depressed? You think heaven is going through, you think heaven's nerves are shot? You think heaven has nerve pills in his purse? You think there is places in heaven? You think there are places where there is bondage? Where there are things too great and too overwhelming that they can't get beyond it in heaven? As it is in heaven. He said, I'm going to teach you how to pray it. I'm going to teach you how to believe it. And then I'm going to teach you, amen, how to see it. Amen. As it is in heaven, so it is in earth. You pray it. You're releasing it. You're demanding it because you have the authority in it and the dominion over it. That's what Romans 16:20 is saying. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under his. We're getting frustrated because God's not showing up. And God says, why would I come to do something I've given you power to do? Stop believing the adversary's lies. That you will not be healed. That you won't be delivered. That you won't receive the Holy Ghost. That your children won't be saved. Everybody say, he's under my feet. My feet. Calvary has given you authority to put Satan under your feet. He's talking about rulership. He's talking about taking charge, not being passive. He's talking about you getting the victory over circumstances and over issues. Wherever Jesus went, the kingdom went. He walked in where demons were and they began to cry out, don't torment us before our time. Wherever he went, the kingdom went. And when the kingdom got there, the forces of hell had to back up. They knew the kingdom of God had just arrived and they had to submit to that authority of the kingdom. We all believe we're going to rule and we're going to reign with Christ. But we struggle to believe what that means right now. We sing in the sweet by and by. But what about the sweet now and now? What about right now, the trouble you're in right now? What about the issues you're facing right now? And if it weren't for the Pentecostal smile you have on tonight, you'd be weeping in front of us. I think some of the greatest actors they could beat Hollywood any day are Pentecostals. They can be in their car fighting on the way to church. Step out of the car and somebody says, hey, how you doing? Praise the Lord, brother. God bless you. Oh, you don't want to preach with me tonight. When it boils down to it, your smile, still behind that smile is the issue you're facing. Whatever the doctor told you, whatever the counselor shared with you, whatever the judge has demanded, whatever life has brought your way, financially, physically, emotionally. What about right now, the devil you're fighting? What about him right now? What about right now while the depression won't lift? What about right now while those nerve pills are still in your purse? What about right now? I don't know why I keep saying that. What about right now with that fear in your spirit? What about right now with family trouble? What about right now? Help us realize that we are made to rule. I'm not talking about big biceps and triceps. I'm talking about spiritual power. Let me tell you, I'd put a grandmother full of the Holy Ghost up against a whole legion of gangbangers. I'd rather walk down the darkest alley in New York with a grandma who's full of the Holy Ghost than with 6 or 10 men with machine guns. Because there's power and authority in her hands. See, God's given you something tonight that if you'll exercise what He has placed in your hands, what voice He has given you to proclaim it, there is nothing in this house that would not have to bow to the authority and the dominion of the name of Jesus. Somebody shout now. And that's the problem we run into. But we have a lot of faith for later. But now that makes it a little personal. That means I'm going to have to really believe on another level. Anybody can believe for tomorrow because tomorrow's not here. But God's moving His church into a dimension of now. When Lazarus' two sisters lost him, when he passed away, they were devastated. They were grieving. Before Lazarus had died, they had sent word to Jesus, "Our brother is sick unto death. It sure would be nice for you to come over here and heal his body." Sometimes God doesn't do what we think He should do. And by the time Jesus gets there, Lazarus is dead. Mary comes to him, falls at his feet and says, this is her first words. "If you had been here, my brother would not be dead right now." She was quickly getting bitter because Jesus didn't do what she knew He could have done. She didn't say, "Thank you, Lord. I know your schedule, it must be so crazy. You've met with the board. You've been leading camp meeting. You can't tell I've come out of 5 days of camp meeting, can you?" She didn't say, "Glad you're here. Jesus, glad you made the journey. I know it's a little late. You know, He died. You would have been here, been wonderful, but thank you for consoling us and being here. Oh, you're such a wonderful Lord." No, no, no. "If you had been here sooner, my brother would not have died." She didn't have the faith to understand that just because life has put you on pause, it doesn't have the power to stop you. Periodically during your life, you're going to hit turbulent places, and if you're not careful, bitterness will creep into your life and make you feel like things are over and steal your authority. A series of losses will affect how you feel about yourself and how you feel about your life and even how you feel about God. "Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died." Look what Jesus says immediately. "I am." Not "I was." "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he's dead, yet shall he live." "I am." And she says, "I know, I know, I know that when there's a great resurrection somewhere in the future, my brother's going to get up out of that grave and it's going to be wonderful. I believe that. He shall live again." She had faith to believe in the past. If you had been here. She had faith to believe in the future. "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection." But she had no faith for the present. And the lack of right now faith affects your attitude and it binds the authority, the God-given right in your life to rule and to reign over issues in your life. when you stop believing that God is going to operate in the here and the now. You start fighting the only one that can help you. Because you give up too soon. They say it's 18 inches between your brain and your heart. 18 inches. 18 inches that your mind disconnects and sends signals to the heart. The heart is saying, it's going to happen. It's going to take place. It's going to happen right now. I'm going to be healed right now. But it never gets past your head. Well, the facts say, the doctor says, my body says, my neighbor said, the adversary's telling me, the voices are saying, just 18 inches away from a breakthrough. 18 inches away. It stops in your mind and you push it out too soon. I wonder how close some of you are right now to what God really wants to do in your life, in your home, in your family. Don't let it stop in your mind. Don't let it stop in unbelief. Don't let it stop in doubt. Look what Jesus says to Mary. As soon as she does not show him right now faith, Jesus says, show me where you have laid him. And I used to think, well, what is he doing that for? She has no faith at all. She's bitter. She's not trusting him. She's already blamed him. It's your fault. So it's not her faith. But he's about to give us a lesson, a powerful demonstration of rulership. He said, take me to the place where you've laid him. In other words, take me to the place in your life where you stop believing. Take me to that place where you went through life to such an extent that you can't trust me anymore. Where you're going through the motions and you can still fall at my feet and revere me. But you don't believe anymore in the power and the authority and the dominion of rulership in your life. Take me to the place where you stopped believing. Tonight you need to take the power of God to the place in your life where you stopped believing. Where you stopped walking in faith and you started walking by sight. Because God's church is not a sight walking church. God's church is a church that will walk by faith. God said you're going to be healed. That's all I know. And so I'm believing it with you and I'm proclaiming it right in the name of Jesus. I take authority and dominion over sickness and disease. I command it to leave. You need to take back your rulership. You need to get your authority back in action in your life. You need to take dominion over the issues that are trying to calm your faith down, trying to kill your faith. What you need is the anointing of God to wash over your mind, wash over your heart, and let you believe again. Wash over your mind, wash over your heart, and let faith be renewed. Let faith be restored. Put your hand on your forehead and pray for yourself. This mind will be renewed tonight. This mind will trust God. It will grab her in the faith. It will trust God at His word. It will believe in the impossible.
It will step into places that seem impossible, yet it will believe. Because it is your faith that activates your authority. It is your faith that will activate your authority tonight. Somebody's bringing down the kingdom. Somebody's bringing down the kingdom of heaven. In that kingdom, there's deliverance. In that kingdom, there's healing. In that kingdom, there's wellness and wholeness. Hallelujah. In that kingdom, amen, there's strong faith. In that kingdom, there's powerful trust. There's powerful unity. In that kingdom. Somebody in this house bringing your child back to the kingdom. Oh, yes, you're crying it out to God. You're bringing the authority in. You're saying, in the name of Jesus, my child is not going to be lost. We sang about cancer. We sang about it. We sang about disease tonight. Hallelujah. We can rejoice in our relationship, or we can have authority in our rulership. Come on, he didn't leave the devil in charge of your life. He left you in charge. He didn't leave the doctor in charge of your life. He left you in charge. He said, subdue it, have dominion over it. He didn't leave the devil in charge of your house. He left you in charge of it. Somebody take authority over it right now. You might want to walk down to the front of this room right now, saying, these are steps of faith I'm taking. These are steps of faith I'm taking right now. And every step I take is a step of faith and authority. I'm taking dominion over my home. I'm taking dominion over my health. I'm taking dominion over my family. I'm taking dominion over my city. They said it's a burn over field. They said we can't see revival. I take authority over that right now. That we're going to see the greatest outpouring of the Holy Ghost we've ever seen. Come on, you've got to start speaking it. You've got to let it out of your spirit, but you've got to let it out your mouth. You've got to proclaim it right now. The devil doesn't read your mind and he doesn't know what's in your heart, but he sure hears what you say. And you need to bind him right now. You need to loose the power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody's in this house. You need the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost right now. And you might say, but the devil's keeping me from it. No, he isn't. God has given even people without the Holy Ghost authority. Ask the man at Gadara who had a legion of devils in him. A legion of devils could not keep him from falling at the feet of Jesus. If you want to serve Him, you can. If you want the Holy Ghost, you can have it. If you want forgiveness, you can have it. Use the God-given authority in this house right now. Together, lift your faith, lift your hands, and lift your voice. All across this room, let's fill this house with our voice. Our world may not hear this, but heaven hears it. You're bringing down heaven. The kingdom is coming into this house. Yes! Yes! Come on, bring down wholeness. Bring it down. Bring down wellness. Bring down the delivering power of His name. Yes. Come on, activate your faith. Yes, activate your faith. Devil, you will not have my home. You will not have my wellness. You will not have my health. You will not have my marriage. Yes. Yes, I take authority and dominion. This is my heritage. This is what my DNA looks like. This is who I am. I'm a child of God. I'm a king and a priest. Yes! Come on, the adversary tried to shut you up with COVID. He tried to take you out of the kingdom. He tried to remove your authority. Oh, but the church is coming back stronger than ever. The church has more faith than it's ever had. The church will walk in greater power and faith than it's ever walked in. You've got to bring it down right now. You've got to release the power of the Holy Ghost that's in you. Yes! Come on, somebody needs to speak in tongues again. Somebody needs to be refilled. The apostle said, be ye filled, not quarter of a tank. He said, be ye filled of the Holy Ghost. Be ye filled, be full of the Spirit. Come on, you've got to get full of the Holy Ghost, pastor, saint. You've got to get full of the Holy Ghost, leader, follower. You've got to get full of the Holy Ghost in these last days. You've got to walk in the Spirit.